This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Every day, thousands of new users from around the world hop on an online platform called Kobol to form new relationships and get business done smarter. The Tinder meets LinkedIn B2B matchmaking platform helps business professionals discover, connect, and make business deals with buyers and suppliers around the world using the power of social networking and AI. Kobol recently officially entered into the Asian market with its launch in Malaysia, and they're here today on Open for Business to talk to us about how they're changing the way companies around the world do business and how you can use Kobol to connect with your customers, suppliers, and future business partners.
Okay, so my name is Fabrice Aporito. I'm the founder and CEO of Kobol. I started Kobol back in 2015, actually, after running another software company for a few years and with a background of management consulting for about 10. I am French, half Italian to be more precise, and I've lived a little bit everywhere around the world.
Okay, so Fabrice, welcome to Open for Business. I read in your bio on the Kobol website, it said that you like solving problems. So what kind of problem were you hoping to solve by creating Kobol?
Yeah, so solving problem is in my DNA. And I think my background in management consulting is really what led me to look at problems differently and, you know, finding ways to solve them. So for Kobol, the problem was essentially pretty simple, is how do we essentially make it easier for larger and smaller businesses to meet, connect, and communicate? And the background behind this is relatively simple. When you're a big company and you know you have the resources needed to have a website, you're easily found by others. For smaller businesses, the challenge is completely different, right? In the B2B context, you will realize that half of small businesses do not have a website. Mm. So not having a digital presence, obviously, you know, takes you away from the main source of discovery, which is Google search today. And our ambition was to essentially solve that.
So Kobol is billed as a Tinder meets LinkedIn B2B matchmaking platform. Maybe you can tell us more about how it works and whom it best suits.
Right. So perhaps let me start with who it best suits. It suits larger and smaller businesses that aim at working with each other. So we're not talking about the consumer space. We're not talking even about how SMEs try to do business with each other, although it does serve that purpose, but it's primarily to connect larger and smaller businesses. So that's the audience. When it comes to the way Kobol works, it's very simple. You create a profile on the app and, you know, provide enough information for buyers to find you and buyers to get interest in you. And that comprises, you know, who are your clients, you know, some case studies, you know, some description about your business so that we can match you against those buyers. And as you get to this, the interest on your profile generate alerts, provides you insights, and you can use this to start a conversation, right? So it's as simple as that. So what we do is facilitate that conversation in the most efficient way possible.
So are profiles organized in categories, in industries, in segments? How does it look like on the app?
Correct. So people in the platform essentially express their need and also provide insights as to what they actually sell. as well as, you know, in which markets do they want to be found? And this is the basis for us to do the matchmaking. Obviously, we are leveraging not only crowdsourced information from the participants in the platform, but we also use our own AI technologies that essentially through web searches and possibly a website that you might have, gathers the information to enrich your profile. So we leverage all of that data to make the matching as relevant as possible. So unlike other social media platform where it's just out there and search is the primary vector to match people, we're actually doing that work by, you know, limiting your space. We call it a community, whereby you'll find the people that have an interest in you.
On the website, it says the COBOL platform combines the power of social networking with the intelligence of anonymous and artificial intelligence-powered matchmaking to improve relationship management for both qualified buyers and sellers looking to grow their businesses.
Right.
Why choose the social networking interface?
You know, it's interesting. If you think about, you know, how people got to do business back then, and I'm not going to go centuries back, so I'm going to limit it to, you know, when I was perhaps a teenager. Most of the interaction happened through phone, right? Today, you know, the prime vector for interaction is essentially a social media type platform or network. And by that, I think one should really understand the notion of chatting, right? This is really what drives business these days. You know, we believe, and, you know, some of our colleagues from Slack, perhaps in the business space, you know, would tell you that, you know, email is dead, phone is dead. I mean, it's all about chat and those kinds of conversation. People feel comfortable with that. People are familiar with the format. And for us, we wanted to make it as simple as possible for SMEs that, you know, are not necessarily digitally savvy to enter into an environment which is very familiar to them, right? And therefore, you know, consumerizing the business-to-business segment. This is really what we're trying to achieve here.
Why should businesses use COBOL? I mean, how do we know that the companies or the businesses that we're chatting with are genuine?
That's an excellent question and actually a very relevant question today. When we started COBOL, you know, the whole idea was to provide an environment where, you know, you would feel comfortable that the people that you're conversing with are the right ones. And we started by essentially solving that big, big problem with some very, very simple parameters into our app. And we started by saying that, look, for you to join our platform, you need to have a company email address, right? Mm-hmm. And we use this as a mean to match those users with the company they work with. I'm going to give you a very simple example. You know, if you work for Apple, you know, you will have an Apple.com email address. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
By using your Apple.com email address, which we verify, there is no other doubt as to the person that you're actually talking to. So with that, we were solving a big part of, you know, the fake identity problem. Now, we also realized that as we got into the SME space, and particularly in Malaysia, if you compare to other countries like in the US, most companies, as I said, don't necessarily have a website. They do not have a domain name. Mm. And we needed to find a way to make them participate in that process. And this is where, you know, we opened the gate, as we called it. But at the same time, we provided a service very similar to what, you know, ride-sharing services would do that, you know, in a way verifies the identity of the people that join the platform and therefore take ownership of their page and also control who would actually join their own page and essentially represent the companies. So we found a way to deal with the issue of fake profile The issue is still there, right, by and large. But I think we've been able to cover it pretty far with the way we're dealing with this.
Okay. There's also the option to remain anonymous, I understand, because I watched one of your COBOL app videos and there was an option to reveal your identity.
Correct.
So how does that work?
So this is a feature that I can't name the company, but it's one of the largest tech companies in the world, perhaps one of the most valuable one in the world, that started to work with us at the very beginning and loved the idea of being matched, but at the same time wanted to make sure that they wouldn't be harassed by salespeople, right? Which is a typical issue. And so we had that problem at hand, and what we realized is that why wouldn't we simply apply what we're very familiar with in the retail sector, in everyday life, and make this a feature for our platform. And in simple terms, when you enter a store today and you find interest, you know, whether it's a piece of clothes or an electronic items, people won't ask for your name to start having a conversation with you and provide help. We thought we needed to do the same thing. And so as you join the app, you have the possibility to create your profile, decide for that profile to be private, in which case you're not found on the app directly. But you have the possibility to browse around and to have conversations without revealing your identity. So it's a choice that people have as they start a chat. And as they feel comfortable, they will introduce themselves by clicking on a button and revealing their identity. And thereby mimicking what happens in real life.
When we come back, we discuss how COBOL is expected to help build meaningful business connections here in Malaysia. Open for Business with COBOL will be right back after these quick messages. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business with me, Audrey Raj. I am speaking to Fabrice Saporito, the founder and CEO of COBOL, a Tinder meets LinkedIn B2B matchmaking platform that works to make it easier for businesses, regardless small or large, to find their next supplier or customer. Fabrice, the company has been around since 2016. Do you have any idea how many business connections you've facilitated with the app?
Wow, that's a good question. Let me tell you one thing. The way we're looking at this today is that beyond just connections, what matters for us is do people have conversations? Because ultimately, this is what we're trying to achieve. And when we started the company and, you know, had a first year, full year, we ended up with about 28% of conversation that were ongoing inside the app. So, i.e., when a chat gets started, 28% of them get answered. Now, this year or last year in 2018, that number climbed all the way to 40.2%, right? Which gives you a pretty good sense as to how much traction and how much conversation and connections eventually get done through the app. So anyone in the app that really feels about having a conversation, reaching out to others, will find its counterpart, right? So that's pretty much what it means. Particularly if you compare to alternative platforms such as LinkedIn that, you know, publicly will tell about, you know, roughly 10 or 15% of the emails get actually answered, right? So this gives you a good idea as to where we stand.
Okay. Let's talk about money now.
Money.
Tell me a bit about your business model. How do you make money? Is there a premium version to the service? Because I understand that you can join the COBOL community for free, right?
Correct. Yes. So we have a freemium model, and our objectives are twofold. One is to create engagement and drive essentially traffic through the app. And the second is to monetize. In order to achieve actually both, you need to get people to join the app. And this is why we made it free and give people the opportunity to simply discover, right, and enjoy it, get some sense, and obviously get hooked, and then eventually upgrade, right? And this is what we do. And the model in when it comes to our pay plan, yes, it's a subscription model today that allows you to choose how much insights you need and then lead you to take one plan or the other that you can pay on a monthly basis or just commit for a full year, pay upfront, get an additional discount. And essentially enjoy the full benefits of the solution and primarily enjoy unlimited conversation, which is really what we offer.
So what is the basic pay plan?
Yes. So we have two plans. We have the starter plan, and then we have our pro plan. So our plan, you know, if I average things out across the two, we're talking about around 60 ringgit per month for a user to enjoy unlimited conversation and, you know, analytics, targeted account marketing, and things of the like. Now, we also do have, through our partnership, way more accessible plans that, you know, essentially cut that price in half. And we wanted to do that to really create adoption in the market through, you know, one of the largest telco players in the market. And this is also how we go to market to offer some additional benefits to the users.
Okay. You're, of course, talking about this partnership with Axiata Group and Cellcom. This was signed officially last year.
It was signed in June and the first launch started end of September.
And this marked your first foray into Asia. You chose Malaysia.
That's correct.
Why Malaysia first?
So Malaysia is interesting. I think, first of all, some of it is circumstantial. And at the same time, it plays, I think, in our it plays in our favor for a number of reasons. Malaysia is, I would say, one of those markets that is at the crossroads between, you know, Singapore, that is very, very similar to a U.S. market with very high ARPUs, and something like Indonesia, that has way lower ARPUs, a very different type of customer base. Malaysia is spot in the middle in terms of behavior, in terms of audience, so to say. So for us, it was a perfect way to test that market and also figure out whether we could build enough traction to then expand to the rest of Asia, where we would see people that, you know, are way more into the sachet economy and the ones that are way more willing to pay, you know, high-priced type of solutions. Mm. And that's really why we felt that, you know, Malaysia was the right place to get started, beyond the fact that we have the support of the Axiata Group that is headquartered here in Kuala Lumpur. So really a good base to get started.
And in light of your expansion into Malaysia, I understand that the COBOL team conducted a survey to better understand the needs of the Malaysian businesses and, of course, the challenges as well. Tell us a bit about the survey and its findings.
So the survey, yes, was conducted to better understand the business-to-business space in Malaysia and really help us to localize to that market. We understand the importance of doing so. And I think there are three interesting findings out of that survey. The first one is that finding customers is, you know, on top of mind of businesses in Malaysia. What we've also seen, though, is a shift, a progressive shift from offline to online, right? Mm-hmm. And they realize that building an online presence is actually quite critical for them to do so. And again, we're talking about the B2B space here. What was also interesting is that the macroeconomic environment, though, is something that they're particularly concerned. They were particularly concerned at the time of the survey. Now, granted, it was a time where governments or elections were up. Mm. And I think businesses were wondering where this would be going. But all in all, I think we see that, you know, the Malaysian business population, you know, continues to find the need to grow their business and also realize that it is time to become digital.
Are the results generally similar to surveys you've done in other countries? Were there any major differences?
So it's very interesting because there are similarities and at the same time there are some striking differences. And let me tell you what we found. If I compare to the US market, finding customers is way more important than it is in Malaysia. So if you look at the response related to that question, in Malaysia, a third would say that finding customers is important. In the US, 50% of them will tell you that, right? So I think this is a pretty big difference as to what matters. The second aspect is the channels. And Malaysia will still rank event and offline approaches number one, followed closely by online, which is kind of picking up. But offline events still seem to be an important aspect. You do not see that in the US. In the US, those kinds of networking offline right now ranks number three, at least in our survey, right? So all the online channels is really what they're looking at. And then finally, although we did go through a government change in the US too, the macroeconomic environment is not something that businesses in the US really care so much about, or at least are worried so much about, compared to Malaysia. So I think those are the big differences that we see in between the markets.
All right. And based on the survey and the challenges that you've noted from the survey that Malaysian businesses are facing, how do you see COBOL coming in to help Malaysian businesses?
Right. Our role and our mission is really to connect those businesses together. There's something which is quite interesting. I believe large businesses in Malaysia as well as in the US and the rest of the world are very willing to enter into conversations with smaller businesses. And our role is to help the small businesses to close that gap and provide them with a rich enough digital platform for them to be found. And that's really our mission, whether it is in the US or in Malaysia. So what we're trying to do is reach them and literally offer them that platform for them to close the gap, right? Mm-hmm. We're not that far in making that happen. And the potential impact for the economy is quite significant. It's actually quite significant for the SMEs. In the US, through some of the analysis we've made, if we were to shift and redistribute somehow less than 10% of the business that those large companies are doing to the smaller businesses, we could see an increase in their revenue by 30%. So we're not talking about, you know, an insignificant impact. We're really talking about life-changing benefits for those SMEs. And this is what we're trying to do. This is the sole reason for us to be, is to connect those businesses together. Education will be key. Malaysian businesses recognize that. They actually highlighted that as one of their first priorities. So creating that presence and being educated is what they're looking for. We do believe that by having adopted more of a social network type of behavior on our platform, we will be able to make that education a bit more easy to swallow, so to say, and get them to where they should be way faster. So that's our ambition. That's what we're striving for.
And just before we go, Fabrice, what's next for COBOL? Are there plans to reach out to the B2C segment, maybe?
We don't see ourselves as a B2C platform. There are plenty of, you know, excellent players out there that, you know exactly what they're doing. They're very large, you know, e-marketplaces here. It's the same in the US. You know, it's a space that is very, very well occupied. But we do have planned to achieve our ambitions. And one of those plans is the release in March of our 2.0 version that is going to make the achievement of those objectives way more easy for all the participants. So this is our big plan moving along. It will also enable the participants in the platform to participate throughout the value chain, market themselves throughout the value chain, not just at the conversational level, but really offering them more opportunities to make themselves known and capture the opportunity that is the B2B, the large B2B space.
I've been speaking to the founder and CEO of Cobl, Fabrice Saporito. Now, if you're a business owner, CEO, or sales and marketing executive looking to connect with agile, innovative small businesses, go jump on Cobl at cobl.com or via the Cobl app available now on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Also available there is the BFM app, which you can use to catch up on your favorite podcasts. So don't forget to get our app too. My name is Audrey Raj, and this has been Open for Business on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.